Let's turn in our Bible to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and I'd like to begin reading, if I may, at verse 63, and probably through verse 68, verse 63 through 68. Everybody ready? Let's stand if you can, if you feel like it, till we honor the word. Verse 63, and it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I want us to notice the latter part of that verse tonight where Jesus said, talking about the words that he spoke. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew that the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. For that time many of the disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, why also ye go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're glad today that we can come in your presence again. Thank you, Lord, for this another beautiful day, the Lord's day that you've given us. Lord, we know that you made this day and you set it aside. And you called it a day of rest. And Lord, we're here tonight to rest our bodies and our soul in the presence of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that your presence would saturate this place. May every person here tonight, Lord, feel the holy presence of Almighty God as we worship you in this place this evening. And Father, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to speak the words that you've given us tonight. They're, Lord, they're not our words, but they're the words of Jesus. Lord, help us tonight to speak the way you'd have us to. Thank you for each one, Lord, that's made their way out to this place tonight. We ask you to bless in a special way. Bless each one in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. As I said tonight, I'd like to speak to us just a little bit on the words of Jesus. You know, there's a song in the hymn book, and I looked it up in this hymn book, and this is a good hymn book, by the way. I've always admired the hymnal in this church. From the first few times I came here and noticed the hymn book, I've always admired the hymnal in this church because it's a good hymnal. It's very scriptural, and it's to the point doctrinally. It's a good hymnal, and I always admired it. But you know, one reason I admired it too is because of the words of Jesus in that hymnal. And I like the old song in there, Wonderful Words of Jesus. What a great song that is. And I want to talk to us just a little bit tonight by the help of the Holy Spirit about the wonderful words of Jesus. You know, Jesus said here, for the Spirit quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And Peter said, thou hast the words of eternal life. So we find here a lot said in just a little couple of verses about what Jesus had to say. You know, the wonderful words of Jesus. We used to sing that song back in the old Church of the Nazarene. We sang that song a lot, Wonderful Words of Jesus. We don't hear it much anymore. We don't hear a lot of the old songs much anymore. New songs have come in, contemporary music. A lot of things have come in and sort of took over and ruled out some of the old things of the church. But I'm thankful tonight that we still have the wonderful words of Jesus in the scripture. Excuse me, the devil don't want me to preach, but I got news for him. I got news for him. I'm going to do it anyway. You pray for me. We find that both Peter and James made a statement here about the words that Jesus said. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He was saying they are not of the flesh. They are not of the world. They are the spirit. They are life. And Peter went on and testified and said, thou hast the words of eternal life. I'm glad tonight to know that I serve one that has the words of eternal life tonight. I'm glad that I'm serve one tonight that has the words of abundant life tonight. I'm glad tonight to know that I have one that I can that I serve who guides and directs and leads my life tonight. You know, the Bible is more than just a roadmap. It's more than a GPS. You know, a lot of people got the idea that the Bible is just a roadmap tonight, a way to heaven. I want to tell you something. It is. Yes, it is. And I don't take anything from that. But there's one thing I want to tell you tonight. The Bible will tell you how to live to get to heaven tonight. And you know, a lot of times we just want to go to heaven and leave everything else out. We look at all the good things in life, you know, but we don't want to pay the price sometimes. But we have to pay the price, you know. Everything comes with a price. As they say, there is no free lunches. I agree with that 100% tonight. Someone said, well, salvation's free. It's free to me and you, but it costs something. It costs Jesus. It costs God the very best that heaven had to pay for your salvation and for mine tonight. So we see the wonderful words of Jesus. Peter testified, thou hast the word of eternal life. If we can take the actual words of Jesus that's recorded in the Bible, all the red letter words, if you could take them tonight and condense them down in a book, it wouldn't be a very large book, not compared to the rest of the Bible. It's a very small book if you did that. But I'm here to tell you tonight, my friend, that what Jesus did speak was powerful. What Jesus did speak meant something. What Jesus did speak was spoken for you and I tonight. And it was spoken for us to live by. And you take the scripture tonight and think of how little Jesus spoke throughout the Bible, but still how powerful those words was. How his word reached out. How that Jesus said words that have resonated down through the years. You know, you think about it tonight. A lot of people will quote something that Jesus said. They may not be Christians, but they've heard it somewhere. Why? Because Jesus said it. The words of Jesus resonates. It penetrates hearts tonight. As I said, when you think about the words of Jesus tonight, Jesus said, you know, sometimes we think, well, Jesus didn't say a whole lot. He didn't have to say a whole lot. What he said meant so much, and it penetrated hearts and penetrated the lives of people. He didn't have to say so much. Thousands of volumes have been written on the words of Jesus. Thousands of books have been written by men about the great words of Jesus. One author wrote 8 books about the words of Jesus, and all 8 volumes had 400 pages in it. That's 3,200 pages. About Jesus Christ, 3,200 pages about the words that Jesus said. So when you think about it, that's a lot of words to concerning one person. And Jesus said, though I speak to you, he said they are spirit. These words that Jesus said that he spoke to us, he said they are spirit and they are life. You know, whose words of all the people from the hour of Adam until now have ever provoked the world like Jesus? No man's words have ever provoked the world like the words of Jesus. No man's words have ever resonated the hearts and lives of men and women like the precious words of Jesus. No words have ever brought conviction to mankind like the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus, my friend, has penetrated the hearts of kings and penetrated the hearts of great men down through the years. The words of Jesus must have done more to stir people's lives than any other word in all the world today. The words of Jesus has made more history in a short period of time. You know, Jesus didn't live long upon this earth. He came and lived upon this earth approximately less than 4 years, about 33 and a half years, so to speak. He came and lived upon this earth, and he only preached a very short time. But you know, Jesus said a lot, and it meant a lot, and it means a lot today to you and I. It's made history that's changed the world today. It's made history that's changed men and women today, and it's changed their lives, not for a short period, but changing forever and throughout all eternity. Thank God for that tonight. If anyone but Jesus ever spoke of him, think about it tonight. If someone ever spoke of himself as much as Jesus spoke about himself, what would we call him tonight? We would say that guy's bragging on himself. That guy's lifting himself up. That guy's putting himself above all others. Jesus spoke the words that he spoke about himself. Jesus did lift himself up. Why? Because he's the King of glory. He's a God of glory tonight. And he has every right to express himself. And a lot of times he expressed himself in different ways. You know, he said there in John, he said in John chapter 10 and verse 9, he said, I am. Notice this. Jesus said these words. I am, talking about himself. He said, I am the door. I am the truth and the life in John 14 and 6. In John 6, 35, he said, I am the bread. So we see that his conversation and his words spoken about himself. Jesus used himself a lot of times for special reasons. Many times he expressed himself by saying, I will. Notice the I wills of Jesus here. He told the disciples one day, he said, if you follow me, I will make you fishermen of men. And he went on to say, I will build my church. I will, Jesus said, I will come again. He said he would come again and receive us unto himself. That where I am, he said, there you may be also. So you see, Jesus wasn't bragging on himself. He was only stating a fact, my friend. And he's coming back to rapture the church one day after a while like he said he would. He's coming back. He made the fishermen of men like he said he would. The disciples followed him and they became fishermen of men. They preached the gospel. Why? Because Jesus called them and they followed him. And we find that he is the bread of life. If you go back to the Israelites and find out there how they came down into the wilderness and God sent food, the bread of life, every day. He sent fresh food to them there except on Saturday or the seventh day. He sent a double portion because God didn't feed on the Sabbath day. He rested that day. So we find he is the one that is the bread of life. And he said, I will come again. Let me tell you, my friend, he's coming again. Regardless of what men might say, and regardless of what people might think, Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again. And one day after a while, the first time he's coming in the clouds of glory. And thank God, the church is going home to be with Jesus when he comes back in the rapture, the church on the clouds of glory. He's not coming to earth then. He won't touch earth. But the second time he comes, hallelujah, he's going to bring his saints with him and we're going to reign upon the earth, the Bible said, for 1,000 years. Thank God, I'm looking forward to that day when Jesus comes back. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Church, what a great promise we got. Oh, we got something tonight to look forward to. Jesus is coming back. He's coming for you and I to take us home to be with him forever and ever. He said, I will come again. Oh, Jesus' words was great because of his wisdom. Think about the wisdom of Jesus for just a little bit. My friend, there was never a man spoke with the wisdom that Jesus spoke with. Never a man spoke with the knowledge that Jesus spoke with. Never the words has anybody ever said meant anything like the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus knows our every need today. Thank God he has all wisdom today. He knows our every need. He has the message for us tonight. Whatever it is that we need, Jesus has it tonight. Wherever we're at, he has what we need to bring us out tonight. Oh, my friend, listen to me tonight. Jesus Christ has the answer tonight. We read in the scripture there how that Jesus Christ meets needs of people. I was reading the other day in the 8th chapter in the book of John. how that Moses in the law made a command there, how that the woman should have been stoned to death. But you know something? Oh, I'm so thankful tonight that Jesus has the answer tonight. Oh, the words of Jesus mean something tonight. You know what they said? They said the law of Moses says that because of who she is and what she's done, that she needs to be stoned to death. Jesus didn't stone the woman. Absolutely not. You know, she was a simple woman, no doubt about it. And they brought her to Jesus. She was in sin, no doubt about that. But there's one thing for sure. Jesus stooped down and he wrote on the ground. What he wrote, I don't know. But I do know one thing. It was sufficient. He wrote on the ground and he looked, and when he looked up, all of her accusers was gone. Nobody there. The woman was there, crumbled up on the ground, squirming, wiggling around in the presence of Jesus. And what did Jesus say? He said, "Where are thine accusers?" And she looked up and she said, "Lord, I have none." Oh, he said, "Neither do I condemn thee." The words of Jesus, he said to you and I one day when we went to Calvary and asked forgiveness of sin, he looked down upon a simple person like me and he said, "Neither do I condemn you." But I want to tell you something. It don't stop there tonight. Oh, we think because Jesus didn't condemn the woman to stop there. No, absolutely. He told her, he said, "Straighten up your life. Go and sin no more." So you see, my friend, all the wonderful words of Jesus, "Neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more." Oh, I'm so thankful tonight for the wonderful words of Jesus. You know, Jesus wrote up on the sand. As I said, I don't know what he wrote, but I know one thing. Brother, it meant something to the woman that day, and she went her way, and she went her way feeling good in her soul. You remember when you got saved? Can't remember it? Maybe you didn't get saved. I'm not sure you're saved if you don't remember it. Maybe you are, I don't know. But I know the night I got saved, they beat me in the back. Man, they prayed for me at an altar. We had an altar in our church. Man, it was built out of wood, had tear stains on it. Don't see that no more. Dry eyes in the church. No tear stains on the altar no more. Nobody cares about the lost anymore. I visited a man in a Princeton hospital all several years after I moved here. I found out he was in the hospital. One Sunday I was coming back this way. I stopped by, told my wife, I said, "I'm going by the hospital in CCR. I said, they told me he was in the hospital. I want to see him. I hadn't seen him for a long time. So I stopped by the hospital and standing there talking with him. He said, "Preacher," he's holding my hand. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I go to church." He said, I get sort of aggravated." I said, "What's the matter, CR?" He said, "They don't pray for the lost anymore." You see, we don't have any burden no more, no concern. Didn't pray for the lost anymore. Jesus loved the lost. That was his mission to come to earth, was to seek and to save, the Bible said, that is lost. He come to seek and to save. Amen. Oh, when he wrote whatever he wrote in the sand, he told a woman, said, "Go and sin no more." I don't know what he wrote, but I know one thing. It was good enough for her, wasn't it? Amen. It was good enough for her because the Bible said she went back. She went back and she told him what Jesus had done for her. My friend, listen, when Jesus does something for you, you can't help but tell it. As the old timers used to say, it's better felt than told. Well, I don't know about that. It's good to tell it every once in a while, isn't it? Yeah, it's good to feel it, but it's good to tell it too. Amen. It may not help you so much, but it'll help somebody else. Everybody likes to hear a good testimony every once in a while. This woman went back to town. She had a good testimony how that Jesus had healed her, how that Jesus had forgiven her of her sin. Oh, we think of how the words of Jesus, what kind of comments does the words of Jesus bring? What kind of comments does your words and mine bring? Think about it a little bit. What do we say that touches somebody's heart? What do we say that would build character for you and I? What do we say in the presence of someone else and would make them think highly of you and I? I don't know. But I know one thing. Everything that Jesus said brought back comments to him. Amen. He heard about it, didn't he? Amen. He heard about those that got saved. He heard about those that received their sight. What did he mean? He would tell them what to do, wouldn't he? Amen. You know, the Bible said it. No one ever spake the words and others down through the years that, as I said, provoked as many people as Jesus. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This was the first sermon that Jesus ever preached in Luke chapter 4. We find other sermon, the first sermon that Jesus preached when he was here on earth, the first sermon he preached was in Luke chapter 4. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Make you feel good, don't it? Amen. Said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. You know something? The anointing is not here anymore like it once was. You say, what is the anointing? It's God's approval up on somebody's life. That's what the anointing is. The anointing is not something great that God showers up on somebody. No, the anointing of God is God's calling up on somebody's life. God is anointing that person to work for him and to do what he wants them to do. Jesus said that the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. So, man, I didn't know Jesus needed to be anointed to preach the gospel. Evidently, he felt like he did. And notice what happened after he preached the gospel. The first public message, as I said, recorded in Luke chapter 4. Notice what happened there at these gracious words that Jesus preached. Oh, in verse 22, it said they were gracious words. The gracious words of Jesus, my friend, lifts burdens tonight. The gracious words of Jesus tonight, my friend, has authority tonight. The gracious words of Jesus tonight makes people's lives better. The gracious words of Jesus tonight changes lives tonight. It makes us a saint out of a sinner tonight. Nothing else can do that. Only the words of Jesus can do that tonight. Once the Pharisees, the enemies of Jesus, I said, Jesus' comments always brought back, or words always back comments. One day the authority said, go out and arrest this man. We don't like his preaching. We don't like what he's doing. He's upsetting our people. The territory is upset, and we don't like him. They sent authorities out to arrest Jesus. The scribes did this. Oh, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they thought they had everything under control, didn't they? They said, we'll go out and arrest Jesus. Said, go out and arrest him and bring him back. And you know something? Those men of authority that went out to arrest Jesus, when they come in the presence of Jesus and they heard Jesus preach, they didn't arrest him. When they saw Jesus, they weren't interested in arresting him. When they saw Jesus and all the people gathered around him, how that he was preaching to them, what he was telling them, that changed their lives. It changed their hearts. It changed their minds. And what did they do? The scripture said they went back empty-handed without Jesus. And what did they tell the authorities? The authorities no doubt said, well, where's Jesus? We sent you after this man. Why didn't you bring him back? Where is he at? And you know what they said? They said, never. Never a man spake like this man spoke. Oh, they said he had words that had done something to us. He had words that's changed us. He had words that has melted our heart. This stone of heart we had has become soft. It is melted, and it is all because of the words of Jesus. Oh, my friends, listen to me tonight. The words of Jesus changes hearts. It changes lives, and it changes minds tonight. The words of Jesus, saving words, keeping words. The words of Jesus will keep you tonight. Amen. They'll save you tonight. The Spirit quickeneth, the Scripture said, and flesh profited nothing, but the words that I speak, the words that Jesus speaks unto you is spirit, and they are life. I like that, don't you? Oh, the wisdom that Jesus had. When they went back, they said, never a man spake like this man spoke. Not one man ever spoke like this. Oh, we see here, the scripture here says that Jesus Jesus can speak the word. What about the centurion? Oh, think of him for just a moment. This man, this centurion, was a man who was a Roman officer. He had men under his command. He told them what to do. He told Jesus, when he was talking to Jesus, he said, I'm a man of authority. He said, I tell them to go and I tell them to come. They come and they go. And he said, Jesus, he said, my son is sick. He is sickened to death. And he said, I would like for you to come and heal him. All the loving words of Jesus. He said, I will, didn't he? He said, I will. Maybe not those two words, but anyway, Jesus was willing to go. And the centurion realized, he said, I don't want to bother Jesus. He's a busy man. He's like me. He's real busy. And I don't want to bother him. He said, Jesus, if you would just speak the word, you don't have to come and lay your hands on him. Now, I don't have a thing against laying hands on the sick and praying for him. I don't have a thing against that. That's biblical. I don't have anything against the way certain people do it. I think it's all right. I'm not against any of that. But he told Jesus, he said, Jesus, he said, you don't have to touch my son. He said, Jesus, you don't have to come in his presence. You don't have to lay hands on him. He said, Jesus, if you would just say the word, the word of Jesus. And what did Jesus tell a man? He said, I've not seen so greater faith. No, not in all of Israel. Oh, Jesus saw faith in this man. This man had faith in Jesus, didn't he? Amen. Jesus saw that he had faith. And Jesus told him, he said, just your, you say the words. That's all we need. My friend, listen to me. When we think today of how wonderful the wisdom of Jesus is, how wonderful it is. You know, the world is filled with people today who have needs. The world is filled with people today who are just like a plane without a pilot. The world is full of people today who are just like a ship without a rudder. The world is full of people tonight who can't tell where they're at or where they're going because of the problems in their life. People were the same way in the days of Jesus. They were all mixed up. They didn't know who to believe or what to believe. They didn't know whether the scribes was right or the Pharisees was right. There's one thing they did know. When they heard the voice of Jesus, they knew he was the one who had the message. They knew he was the Son of God. They knew he was the one who was right for them. Oh, listen to me, my friend. If you have a need tonight, Jesus will take care of your need. All you have to do is just get in the Word. I thank God tonight for his Word. I'm glad tonight for all the good things that God's done in my life. I'm going to give you my testimony. Not tonight, take too long. But sometime I will, when the Lord lays it on my heart. I love that old song, said wonderful words of Jesus. Wonderful words of Jesus. Sing them over to me again. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Christ the blessed one gives to all. Wonderful words of life. Beautiful old song, isn't it? Sinner, listen to the loving call. Wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Sweetly echo the gospel call. Wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all. Wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Beautiful words of life. You know, the words of Jesus are beautiful words, aren't they? This songwriter wrote this song. He had been in the presence of Jesus. He knew something about Jesus and what Jesus had done to write that song. Wonderful, wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of Jesus. You know, The words of Jesus are supernatural, aren't they? As we said, the servant was sick and he was healed. We could go through the Bible tonight. Jesus, immediately after telling the centurion or speaking the words for the centurion's son to be healed, right below that, it talks about the widow of Nain. Her son had died, and they were taking him to the funeral. Had him in a coffin, marching him toward the grave. And Jesus came along. And they said that he reached out and touched the casket where the dead boy was at. And the Bible said that he rose and began to speak, began to talk to him. You see, the words of Jesus are powerful words tonight. A lot of times we read them and they don't resonate. They don't take place in our mind and in our heart. But you know, they're powerful words. Whether we understand them, whether we take them to heart or not, they're powerful words. They're words for living, and they're also words for dying. They're cleansing words. You know, Jesus said, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Oh, the word of God's cleansing, isn't it? You remember the lepers that went to Jesus? You know, when Jesus saw them, what did he tell them? He said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest. Go and let others see you." Why? Because you've been in the presence of Jesus. Jesus has cleansed you. Jesus, the word of Jesus cleanses tonight. Amen. Oh, I like that old song, "The Cleansing Wave. I see. I plunge and oh, it cleanseth me." Thank God tonight for the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." All the words of Jesus will make you free tonight because they are eternal words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Brother, listen, the words of Jesus is eternal tonight. The words of Jesus shall never pass away tonight. Amen. I'm glad for the word of Jesus tonight, aren't you? Amen. I'm glad I know him. I'm glad he's my Savior. I'm glad he's your Savior tonight. And you know what? It saddens me to know that the whole world is not saved tonight, even though it could be. Jesus didn't come just to save Jim Bailey. Oh, I'm glad he did. I need it. I need it bad. He didn't come just to save me, but he came to save the whole world. "Whosoever will," he said, the words of Jesus. He said, "Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come." Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." The words of Jesus. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of Jesus.